We continue today with our Advent to adventure, walking to the nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this year, as we walk along that path, we're doing our journey through selected readings from the prophet Isaiah, readings that might be very familiar to us, but readings that also we may take for granted in our own walks of life. As we listen and reflect upon these readings from Isaiah, I ask you to continually to reflect how God is knocking at the door of FPCH and how God is knocking at the door of your heart, mind, and soul. As you listen, at times you may find yourself struggling, as I do, with times in which we live, times in which we look for a word of hope and a word of peace, a word of wholeness as we journey. So as we move to our scripture reading this morning, I ask that you do a couple of things for me. I guess it's really one thing. We're going to do it twice. Before we take in the reading, I ask you to take a deep breath at this time and slowly let it out, gazing upon the cross, either in your mind with your eyes closed or upon the cross in the sanctuary. Take a deep breath and slowly let it out, hearing the words from the prophet. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Here ends our reading. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we continue the theme of Advent for this year, a theme in which we look to the knocking of God at the door of our hearts, minds, and souls through the prophet Isaiah. So as we began last week, we'll begin this week. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of
wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. As you hear these characteristics of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, they are characteristics that describe for us the ideal king. So are these the characteristics of your ideal king, of your ideal leader, of The one who is to lead you in life? Is that how you think about when you think about characteristics of a leader? Would you put it in those terms that Isaiah presents to us this morning? As I look at those things and I reflect upon those, there's two thoughts that come to my mind about it, and it's really maybe only one, but it's something for us to think about. The first one has to do, as we consider the ideal and the ideal kingdom and the ideal king, is this. If Jesus Christ has come, if Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God through his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of God, why do we live in the world that we live in? If God has done these things, why are we still in many ways separated, alienated in who we are and what we've done, not only from God, but from one another? Where's the peace and the harmony and the tranquility that is to come with Christ? Where is that peace and tranquility? Isn't that what you would think? If Jesus did all these things, wouldn't you expect that we'd live in peace? That there would be no more conflict? That there would be no more sin? That there would be no war? As Isaiah described later on, the ideal kingdom where we live together in peace and harmony through his example of nature. But because we still are separated, and we look at those things this morning in this way, because we live in a world that has a great deal of alienation and separation, a world that is not aligned to God. Now, what does that look like? Well, this past week I've spent several occasions responding to emails from former colleagues who are still on active duty in the Navy, and what they're responding to is a couple of different things. The first thing is a remembrance or a reminder of yesterday. Everybody remember what yesterday was? Pearl Harbor Day, 78 years ago. 78 years ago, there was the Japanese attack of Pearl Harbor. And as FDR put it, it was a day of infamy. It was a day in which those ethical conversations completely broke down between nations, and one responded with physical force. If you've been looking at the paper and that, you may have seen this more buried, but at Pensacola Naval Air Station this past Friday, there was a foreign student who attacked the members in one of his classes and killed three in the attack. A week ago, Saturday, there's an individual who had a small base called Fort Story in Virginia, down by Virginia Beach, if you're familiar with that area. The individual decided to run the gate with his truck, and when the alarm went out, the active duty police officer who responded had his car rammed by the individual who ran the gate, killing the police officer. Then just this past Friday, on the 6th of December, at Pearl Harbor, there was a sailor who went into the shipyard and killed two and wounded one before taking his own life. And then if we look at the paper, we see how our nation is awash with the dealings and the events in Washington, D.C., and it just seems that nobody wants to get along or work for us anymore. At least in my opinion, I feel left out in the cold, regardless of what side of the aisle is talking. We are awash, not just that with our own selves, but we can look throughout the world and look at Great Britain. We can look at France. We can look at the times down in Venezuela. as well as in Hong Kong and around the world. We are a world that is in strife, a world that is alienated from God. And we see our sinfulness ever more boldly in that alienation. And those are the challenges that are put before us. And then we're in the time, what is to be the most wonderful time of the year. And for many people, it's not that wonderful, is it? There's loneliness. There's separation from family. There's dealing with all those things of perfection that we want for the ideal holiday. But it's filled for some with alienation and sorrow of the past year. These are the challenges that we face in our world today. These are the things of our sinfulness of the world. It is our reflection of our desire to be God. And it brings with it the judgment of our own behavior and our conflicts of our lives. And what you really realize is we live in a very messy, messy, messy world. Now, that's my short list as I look at the past week. What does your short list look like of the messiness of the world? But it's into that messiness that we know that Christ has come, and it is through his reconciliation of us through his crucifixion, death, and resurrection that the challenges are met. It's through that that we hear the words of G.K. Chesterton in his book of many biographies, and particularly in the book 12 Types, where he refers to Sir Walter Scott. And Sir Walter Scott, he quotes as saying, "The center of every man's existence is a dream. Death, disease, insanity are merely material accidents, like a toothache or a twisted ankle. That these brutal forces always besiege and often capture the citadel does not prove that they are the citadel. That these things capture hearts and minds and souls does not make them the heart, the mind, and the soul. That these claim to be a fortress does not make them a fortress. We might think they have impenetrable walls, but they do not. For Jesus Christ penetrates those walls. Jesus Christ's crucifixion, death, and resurrection penetrates those walls through the Spirit of the Lord." Our reading is maybe one of those most famous readings we've ever read or that we hold, and it talks about the ideal society in which we live. The ideal society in which we hope and dream, and what our expectations are. But we're reminded by the prophet in verse 4 that they're still going to be poor. They're still going to be meek people and people that need help and assistance. There always will be. And there's going to be ruthless and wicked people in this world. But the difference is, the difference between the current kingdom and the kingdom to which you and I belong as followers of Jesus Christ. When we are grafted into Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, when we become a part of Christ and Christ becomes a part of us, brings us to a different way. And the difference between when we follow the King, when we follow King Jesus, when we follow our resurrected Lord, our ascended Lord, the difference is this. It's the response of the King. We know what our responses are, the response of human sinfulness. That was my short list. How do we respond? That's the short list. Mine. You have your own, I know. But the difference is the response of Jesus Christ into the world. Knock, knock. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This is how Christ rules the kingdom. This is how Christ rules our lives. with wisdom and insight, counsel and might, knowledge and fear. Because if we look at the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit means what? It means breath, life force, wind, energy. When I think about this, I think back to creation and in Genesis. And God creates all the creatures. 6 days he creates the world and all that we have. And as he creates the other animals in the world, we are different and set apart from them by what? God calls us to care for those things, but even more so, in that creation story, there is one thing different that God does to us that is not done to other animals. You know what that one thing is? Breathes into us. And when breath is breathed into you, what happens? You have life. And the spirit of wisdom and counsel and all those characteristics that we have in Isaiah is the Spirit of the Lord breathing life into us. Life into us in a world that we might think is raging out of control. But we have life. And our response to that is different, for we bring that life to the world. If we looked at specifically at the spirit of wisdom, the historical kings the prophet has in mind are at that time in which he is living. Hezekiah is one of those. And though Hezekiah is one of those who took bad advice from his human counselors, and what happens? You ever taken bad advice? What happened? Didn't go so well, did it? But if we take the advice of our Lord, what happens? Things go a little bit better. They go actually very well. That's the advice we get. It's the advice and the light of divine truth. The spirit of understanding is a corollary to wisdom, and it's the ability to connect the dots of all the wisdom that's given us, and we see that all the time. That we see which is disconnected and unrelated is connected through God's Spirit. The spirit of counsel is a reference, I believe, to the skill of diplomacy. It's how do we rely upon God and God's method of speaking and working with one another. Spirit of might, we think a spirit of might as one of physical force, but it's really one of making the argument, of negotiating firmly, putting power to wisdom, putting faith and belief in practice. Knowledge is how God would see the situation and react to it. That's how God rules differently through Christ. It's not just personal knowledge and intellectual knowledge. It's connecting the dots and responding differently than the world will. Fear of the Lord is serving the Lord with reverent humility and allowing God to speak into our lives, to allow God's way to become our way. Later, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 says, on behalf of the Lord, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my way, says the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's response is different than our response. God's Spirit, which God gives to Emmanuel, to the King who is coming, to you and I, is a spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come knocking at the door. So the question that I come at to the end is, how do you know God's knocking at your door? How do you know God's knocking on the doors of FPCH? God knocking at your door? Did you open the door? How do you know? How do you answer that door? You know God's knocking. How do you answer the door? You afraid that somebody's trying to sell you something? I have a special deal for you. I'll take care of you. Let me hook you up. I got a special deal for you. No, we know it through We know it through sacred curiosity. This past week, for those of you who were here, who came to the midweek Advent service, we heard a wonderful worship service and a wonderful homily about sacred curiosity, about being curious about the sacred things in life, to be curious about God in your life, to be open and to learn what God is saying to us. And our Fraser Fellows are doing, our interns are doing a wonderful job, and I encourage you to come Wednesday night if you can. And open your hearts and minds and become curious again in answering the door as God comes knocking, to listen to God, to be obedient to God's way. Because when you are obedient and when you listen to God, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding because you realize it's not you that have to fight the fight. But it's God who fights the fight on your behalf. And to answer God knocking at the door, to be sacredly curious, isn't only on Sunday mornings. Like I said, it's Wednesdays. It's every day of the week. So if you're not able to come on Wednesday, how are you sacredly curious throughout the week? How do you live out your sacred curiosity in finding that peace in your minds and souls? It's the realization that it's a way of life that we have. It's living in the reign of Christ, in the kingdom of God daily, by being in the world but not of the world. Easy to say, but how do we respond to the worldly things with the Spirit of the Lord? Evelyn Underhill, a Christian mystic of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, I think, speaks to this living when she says, the goal throughout the day, throughout those small moments of silence, is that nothing live in your working mind but a naked, intent stretching to God. In my mind, that's allowing God to work through you, to allow that curiosity, that silence to take over who you are and what you're doing, and to speak to those around us, to be stretching to God. In other words, to be focused on God, to be vulnerable and empty. And that's hard to do. To be sacredly curious. And that looks like this for me. To be prayerfully reading Scripture. To prayerfully reading Scripture. This past year, I took up one way of reading through Scripture, try to do it every year, but this year I decided to do something different, and I decided to found a website that provided how to read through Scripture historically by event. It's kind of an interesting thing to do because it brings other insights I never even considered, which is a whole other thing. But I've noticed as I've read Scripture this year, and maybe it's just because events in my life this year, how in those quiet moments, in that curiosity of listening God speaking to me through Scripture and listening to others as God speaks, but in that moment in particular, how I am changed, how God enters in, the Spirit of the Lord enters in to my life and how I respond to that. In many ways, to read Scripture is like dating. You first start dating. What do? You listen to each other. You talk to each other. But how much of that time is really spent doing nothing? And what I mean by that is, so you go to the beach and you just walk along the beach and you say nothing. What happens in those moments? What happens in the silence of that relationship as you walk along? And as you go down the beach, or as you stroll through a park, as you hold a hand, what's communicated? Love? Peace? All of the above. A relationship is built. You can't build your relationship with God without spending time with God. You got to spend time with God. One way to do that is to prayerfully read Scripture. The other way to do it, another way to do it, is to prayerfully be still And allow God to be God in your stillness. And just let God be there. The other way to do it is just to pray. To have conversation. To prayerfully consider all things at all times. The Spirit of the Lord rests and comes to us. And the Spirit of the Lord who comes knocking at our door this year that we anticipate is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is knocking at the door. Answer the door. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.